All right, folks, I think we're going to get started here in just a few moments. If everyone wants to grab a seat. I think we lost our youth coordinator, but I suspect she'll be back really soon. Yeah, same. Welcome, everyone, to another incredible year of our Youth Elder Salon, hosted by Pride in the McPhee Center and Elderberries. My name is Courtney Connor. I use she and they pronouns, and I'm going to be emceeing and hosting you this evening. We're really excited to be welcoming you into this space. But before we get started, I'm just going to take a few moments to open us up with a land acknowledgement and Pride Safer Spaces statement. So first of all, I'd like to start by acknowledging that we are gathering in Mi'kma'ki, the ancestral and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. This territory is covered by the treaties of peace and friendship, which the Mi'kmaq and Maliseet people first signed with the British in 1725. The treaties didn't actually at all deal with the surrender of land, but established the rules for an ongoing relationship between the nations. We're also here in the Halifax region, which was settled and built by people of African ancestry in the 18th and 19th centuries. These people were formative in the building of our communities in meaningful ways and have contributed to the development of the Nova Scotia that we know today. We must not forget that we are all treaty people and we have responsibilities to both each other and this land. We also know that land acknowledgements are not reconciliation, and it's up to each of us to consider the ways that the legacy of colonization has contributed to our present privilege and our own realities. Whether as people who were born in this country or who have immigrated to this place, we should be familiar with our history of the racist and inhumane ways our ancestors or those who lived here before us have acted. And we need to look at the outcomes of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and be acquainted with the 94 calls to action resulting from it. Beautiful. Thank you all. Halifax Pride is dedicated to providing a space that is accessible, inclusive, and free from oppression, harassment, and discrimination. In this space, we treat each other with respect and dignity regardless of age, race, gender expression, gender identity, sexual orientation, levels of ability, religious affiliation, and all other divisive identities. Everyone participating in this space has a responsibility to uphold the values of Halifax Pride, and Halifax Pride commits to and encourages all of those who gather with us to do so this evening. Amazing. All right, a few housekeeping things. There are a series of porta potties behind you folks to the back. We have an active listener, Kat, on site. Kat at the back in the black tank top, blonde hair, non-binary pride lanyard, giving a wave. If at any point you need to step out and chat with someone, if you're feeling a little stressed, Kat is a great person to go and chat with. Another piece that I'd love to remind everyone is that this is meant to be an all-ages event, which means that we are welcoming generations here together today. Sometimes the language that we use, the lived experience that we have has shifted and changed, and therefore it's really important for us to approach today with dignity and respect for all, making sure that we are remembering that we are all here as humans gathering, excited to share our stories. And the last thing I wanted to say about housekeeping before I introduce you to the brilliant panel of folks we have with us here today is a reminder to keep the focus on the stage. This is really helpful in supporting our ASL interpreters and making sure that everyone has an accessible way to participate in this event today. So before we get started, I'm going to ask each of our panelists to maybe introduce themselves very quickly with the names and pronouns that they use. Steph, maybe we can start down with you.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. I use she, her, or anything else you'd like to call me. I'm originally from Liverpool, UK. So I speak my mind, and I don't need to insult anybody or upset anybody. It's not intentional. So, expect some good answers from me.
Hi, I'm Baron Camperman. I'm a naturalized Dutch-Canadian.
My first language was Dutch, not English. It took me a while to learn it. Then I began teaching it. My pronouns are he, him, and hey, you. that guy over there, that's okay.
I'm Coda. I go by the...
Let's just wait for the helicopter to
pass. Yeah, good idea.
Whoa, helicopter noises.
Whoa.
Probably my entourage coming in. I was deeply involved in gay politics in the 80s. The Gay Helpline, the Gay Alliance of Equality ruling board, and... I was once the male member without portfolio. I love that title, the honorable male member without portfolio. And now I'm chair of the Elderberries, and I run their cyber magazine, I should call it. Okay, that's for me.
Awesome. Now that that helicopter is gone, I can introduce myself. I'm Coda. I go by they, he, and I haven't really been involved in much of anything, but I am happy to be here.
I'm Cecil. I use they, them pronouns. I don't really know what much of what else to say. I've been involved in the McPhee Center for roughly 6 years, so that's why I'm here. Yay.
I'm Cam.
Stop that.
It's my mother.
It is.
I'm Cam. I use they, he pronouns. I've been with McPhee for about 2 years now, and I have not spoken on stage-adjacent things since last Pride.
Woo! Thank you all. It takes a lot of bravery to get up on a stage as a young person, so we're super grateful that you folks are here, and we're also so grateful to our elders who have told stories many times before and are hopefully willing to share in their oral storytelling experience with our kiddos. So we're going to get started. I've got a series of questions that I'll ask the group. They will have the opportunity to choose if they want to be one of the ones to answer. We will take a 30-minute or so intermission here after a few questions, and then we'll come back to it again, just for folks who want to know what's on the go. So our first question is, where were, or maybe are, the cool spaces to go in town? As someone that's part of the 2S LGBTQ community, where are you hanging out?
I have been hanging out at the McPhee Center for a little while. I definitely haven't been there as long as some other folks, but that is a really cool place. It's in Alderney Landing, and I've met a lot of really cool people there and got to experience a lot of cool new things.
For me, like, one of the first spaces I had to be myself was McPhee. But there's like a few other small spaces I've had as well. So, I don't really know. There's a lot of just like places I go that I feel like I'm safe and I can be myself. There's a lovely comic store in Sackville, called Cape and Cowl. I can always just go there and be myself. They have drop-in programming sometimes, and I feel like I can be authentically myself there, and it's one of those few spaces like that you can, because sometimes nothing's except in places.
I have also been at the McPhee Center mostly. However, Youth Project is also a great place.
Oh, I just remembered another one. Sorry.
The Train Yard store is lovely and accepting. And a number of the Halifax Public Libraries are good too.
I just remembered another one. So I've been involved with programming at the Adventure Earth Center for a very long time, and it's one of the camping experiences I've had that I can authentically be myself. And one of the first camps I had ever gone to that had the option to be in a gender-neutral cabin, and not even just having trans youth, but also having trans staff, which makes the experience a lot better for me at camp.
either of you want to let us know some places?
Well, it's all in the past tense. But there used to be some cutting-edge places in Halifax, which are kind of odd and weird. The first one I went to was The Club, T-H-E-E, The Club. And for chandeliers, they had tin cans perforated with holes on the wall. But they were the first ones to play good disco music from Montreal. And the other places did not. And plus, if you went to the Palace or whatever was big at the time, you could get your head punched in, so you just didn't go there. Before places were the Seahorse, and that's still going, it's on Goddard now. But it was kind of an iffy place, you know, like you knew who to sit with, and generally nobody ever caused a problem there. Then came Rumors. I came out of the closet in 83 and I got involved with Rumors, the second Rumors. I used to go to the first Rumors, which was down one, Grafton? Grafton, was it? Down from Barrington, anyway. And that was cool, but it was kind of small. Then we had our own big place on Goddard.
Yeah.
But that fell apart with AIDS because it wasn't the income. And there was some, shall we say, conflicts.
I only came out 2 years ago as a transgender. Don't really go to the bars anymore. I'm too old for that. What I found over the last 2-3 years, because I was a cross-dresser before that, is in Halifax, I literally can go anywhere and be accepted, which is a great feeling, and sometimes it's really weird. And I get set back sometimes. I went into Viva La Rosen to buy some underwear, go to pay cash, and the girl behind the counter goes, "Do you want to try it on?" And I'm looking at her and go, "This is weird, right?" So, literally, I go anywhere dressed as I am. Over the last couple of years, I've accepted that I look more female than male, but not 100%. So, and so far, never had a bad reaction, which is great.
That is great. I did just remember one other place. So Venus Envy is a really cool spot that has a lot of gender diverse staff even, and they sell some very gender affirming care there. Not gender affirming care, gender affirming wear, let's say.
Words.
We know how to use words. Yeah, so that is a really cool place for anyone to go to. They are very nice, very accepting, very welcoming. All of that.
We've just become spokespeople for businesses, but it's because that's like the only queer spaces that I know, because I don't like going places with people.
I'm curious for the elders on the panel, if you folks patron some of these businesses too, or is Venus Envy in your repertoire, or are you hanging out at the comic book store? I'm curious if there's intergenerational sharing that can be happening in these spaces.
In my case, it's the Halifax Gaming's Chorus, because there's a lot of generations in it.
Yeah.
But also with the Elderberries, we're just coming out of COVID. But with the Elderberries, it was people of my age bracket generally and their allies. So, and I do like going to Venus Envy.
Yeah.
I stopped there for a rainbow parasol, and I didn't have one. I was so disenchanted.
We'll let Marshall know.
They were gone so fast of umbrellas yesterday. People were like, "Do you guys have umbrellas?" And it's like, no.
See, intergenerational frustration with lack of stock. Amazing. Are we ready to head on to our next question, folks?
Yeah.
Great. So the next one I have here for you is, what would your younger self not believe about the life that you live today? What would your younger self not believe about your life today?
Who's going first?
How about you go first?
Oh my god, I'm going first. Okay. So, honestly, just being myself, I've struggled a lot with that. It's like, not to be like, I'm going to explain everything, but I'm going to, like, roughly explain everything. So, I, like, in probably the sixth grade was like, I feel like I might be trans. And I was like, let's tuck that away for later. And then in the seventh grade, I was like, yeah, I really like how the label non-binary fits me. I'll use she, they pronouns to appeal to other people, even though I just want to use they, them, but I want to make things simple for other people. I still struggle with that a lot. But as I, like, time went on, I started to realize, like, hey, maybe that isn't the best thing for me, and that I should start presenting how I want. And then that turned into roughly 2 years ago now, me realizing, you know, calling myself trans mask feels right. I'm not a guy, essentially. What is that word specifically? But I am at the same time, and being able to say that felt really good. And being able to admit that I am trans enough and that I am allowed to access resources to go back and, like, tell my younger self, like, hey, so you found out who you were. You got that confidence to change your name and use the pronouns that you want it to use. You got the confidence to go and sort look out for those resources, or you got yelled at by Courtney to go do it. And that you are yourself now. The fact that younger me would have never believed that I would have ever come out to my mother. Younger me would never believe that I would now be, like, pretty much very close to starting hormones. I never thought that would happen. Frankly, I didn't think I would still be here to do that, because it was a lot of stress and it was a lot of social pressure from other people telling me that I have to be simple for them and I have to be easily accessible for them, because I was never that to begin with. So to tell my younger self that you are authentically living your life would make me feel so much better. Thank you, Cecil.
I've always been incredibly outspoken. I've always said what's on my mind, said how I feel, no matter how it would affect other people and if other people would be mad because of the feeling that I'm experiencing. That being said, I don't think younger me would have been surprised that I am still outspoken and still communicating how I'm feeling. But I do think I would be surprised about my fashion. I was not that into fashion when I was younger, and I really do think that is because I'm trans. I didn't know how to express myself, and that played a part into my clothing, where I wouldn't know what clothes to wear to know how to express myself. And now that I am able to express myself and am able to put labels on it, I'm able to kind of get more into fashion and, like, tap into that and really get into it, not having to go between any barriers, any boundaries, and just be me.
Younger me definitely wouldn't believe that I'm out, let alone speaking at Pride for the second year in a row. And definitely wouldn't believe that I was still here. Like, when I was younger, I definitely had no faith in having a future. And now I've been in therapy for a whole year, and it's great.
guess I was made very uptight because God and religion was used as a weapon against me when I was very young. And I was taught a lot of heteronormative things that just really fucked me over. And the funny thing was, I didn't even know that I was gay, because nobody talked about, there was, gay was not a word that resonated in the culture. It didn't mean anything. It meant happy or kind of goofy. That's it. You know, nobody's gay. That doesn't exist. You know, Liberace's just a funny person. But seriously, you know, like, the old ladies love him. And I guess I would tell myself, you'd be surprised how much you don't give a fuck about what people think about you. And that frees up a lot of psychic energy. I got into acrylic painting, charcoals, art. I did stand-up comedy. I sang in public. I took up public speaking. I lived in a foreign country where I didn't know one word of the language for almost 10 years in Japan. I learned about their culture and so on. I backpacked through Thailand, got robbed a few times, got betrayed a couple of times by people, but I always bounced back. And I'm not saying bouncing back is easy. It isn't. But you, all of you are a lot more resilient than you realize. And you have to remember that, because we're coming into some very tough times. I won't get too political, but I really think the billionaires are fucking the whole world over.
That's one way to put it. That's not the way I would have put it. That would have been more strongly worded. Yeah.
You don't think we can coast on yesterday. You know, and I'm not saying it's gone. I believe that I'm looking at a generation that, I wouldn't say you're entitled, but you're used to having your rights, okay? And that's honorable. That's the way you should be. I don't want to go on too long. I'm sorry. But, yeah, you got what it takes. It won't be easy, but you'll make it.
When I was growing up in the UK, in Liverpool, never thought about being a female at all. Got married, had kids, did the normal male things. Thank you. Did the normal male things, you know, go to the soccer games, work as an engineer. When I got separated and divorced, my first girlfriend, one night, I caught her looking at me all the time, and I go, "What's up? Why are you looking at?" And she says, "I'm jealous of your eyelashes." And I said, "I can't do anything about that." You know, like, I said, "So, what do you want to do?" And she said, "I want to put mascara on your eyes." I went, "Go for it. It's not going to harm me." And that kind of got the door open a little bit. Over about 30 years, I became a cross-dresser. And while I was in Vancouver, I joined a cross-dressing group and got fairly comfortable with it. And there was six regular guys plus me. Anyway, one night, all six guys said that they were going on hormone treatments. And I'm going, "There's no bloody way I'm doing that." And over the years, I kind of got comfortable being dressed as a female. And over the last few years, I have clients, so I would have to dress as a male and remember that, take the nail polish off, and it became a real pain in the backside. Anyway, I told a friend, and how I told her, we went for a bike ride, and I show up with a big diamond stud earrings in, and she's looking at me going, and I said, "Wait till lunchtime, it's a long story." So I told her and came out to her. And I told some friends on top of that, my biggest fear was clients. Would I lose them? And so I, over a 6 month period, I kind of kept track. When I dressed as a male, I was miserable. When I dressed as a female, I was happy. And it was like, okay, I guess you are transgender. So I decided, okay, start living as a female. And a year ago, or roughly a year ago, I started hormone treatments, and at that point, you know, people go, well, you're going to have surgery. And I'm going, maybe top surgery, but no way bottom surgery. Now, after about 9 months, it's like, okay, which bottom surgery do I want? And I'm happy as I am. The weirdest question I got asked was, oh, now because you're a female, you like guys? And I went, no, I like women still. So now when I introduce myself to people, I always call myself a lesbian transgender to put that problem out of the way. But there's times when I've gone, I wish I had done this like 30 years ago. You know, that's my life choices. But all I can say is I'm happy.
Thank you all so much for sharing on that last question. I think one of the most remarkable things about being part of the 2SLGBTQ community is the fact that we get to write a lot of our own rules of how we're going to lead our lives and what they're going to look like. And because of that, sometimes those narratives and those identities and who we are shifts really drastically. And it's brilliant to hear folks over, you know, decades of time having these like realizations that they get to be who they are, and that's really, really brilliant, and that who they are can change and shift and grow, and it is fluid and dynamic. So let's talk a little bit about relationships. I'm curious how you met your first partner, and if you haven't had a partner, how you met your first friend in the community.
Why not?
Yeah, Stephanie.
Yeah, you.
Oh. Ever since I came out, I haven't had a partner. And I'm still getting used to sort of the gay community learning. I belong to the Elderberries, and I belong to a dinner group, and they've been great. It's really weird because the dinner group, I go out for dinner with 26 gay guys, and I'm the only female. And we have great chats, and I enjoy it. The one thing that surprised me when I was a cross-dresser was I would date women, and they would think I'm basically a male, and about half the women I dated, I said, hey, I cross-dress, waiting for the explosion to happen. And what surprised me was they all accepted me for being a cross-dresser, and they would go, you know, come over dressed up. And I go, Yeah, okay, fine. So, literally, I find people are very accepting. And that's the weird thing. But growing up in Liverpool, they were very accepting back in the 70s and the 60s. Because in Liverpool, we saw everybody as a human being rather than, oh, he's gay, he's black, he's Chinese. We all lived together. So I still have that attitude. I still see me as a human being, even though I'm a female human being now, so.
I'm still young.
We know.
So I have only had one relationship that has ever meant something. I started to date him when I was still a girl, and I was, the concern was if I were to come out to him that he would break up with me. And at first I came out to him as non-binary. And his response was wonderful. He said, "Darn, then I never had a girlfriend." Just immediately accepting and inviting. Yeah, it was great. And then I came out to him as transmasculine after I realized non-binary didn't really quite fit. And he stayed wonderful and was very accepting and helped me through a lot. A lot of things related to my gender identity even. Which I think is a wonderful thing, to have that transition between, hey, I'm your girlfriend, hey, I'm actually non-binary, hey, I'm actually transmasc, and he just stayed through the entire thing and was patient and was the best thing I could have asked for.
For me, like, yeah, I have dated someone, but I don't even, we both just decided that, like, that never happened. We were, we, like, both, like, we'll make jokes sometimes, and we'll be like, how did we even date? We're, like, too similar of people, so it was weird. We just don't talk about that, and I don't really know if it was anything, like, pivotal in my life. For me, a lot more, it was friendships. I had met other people, but the first person who ever really helped me discover who I am and even just was more accepting, I'm gonna cry.
It's okay, I did too.
Yeah, fine.
What they're trying to say is, we love you, Achilles.
Yeah. I met them when I first started at McPhee, and I felt safer around them. I had been like, yeah, I'm queer. I didn't know what label I used at the time, because I truly don't remember. That was a long time ago. But I didn't know who I was until I met them. They...
Taya, be quiet.
It was, we started being friends because we had similar interests. We met at the McPhee Center. We met at a ukulele program specifically. And it was just having a friend and having a friend that I could talk to. And probably about 5 months after I had met them, I texted them one night and I was like, so I want to know something that I've never told anyone, literally ever. I think I might be trans. And I just got the response of, makes sense. I'm oblivious. I don't notice things. A lot of the time, I need to be told something. If I feel that way, yeah, probably you're right. But they were there for me. The first time at check-in at McPhee I had ever used my pronouns, they had also said something about it. They've been the person who's always corrected people for me. Their family's always been there for me. Whenever I needed, like, just I needed someone to talk to feel safe, they've just been able to listen, and yeah.
I don't know who my first friend was. Probably met them at school. I think my first friend was probably, like, a fairly toxic friendship, so I don't want to count them. But the second friend, who is still my friend now, was, like, I was not kind to them at first.
That's just the way you are.
No, but, like, genuinely not kind. Not kind because I love you. Yeah, and they wanted to be there for me and be my friend, so they didn't care how I treated them. And then I realized that, like, maybe not. Maybe this isn't great here. I should fix this, because they're a lovely person. And they helped me through a lot of everything. Yeah, so eventually I just realized that, like, ooh, that's not right, and now they are my best friend, and, like,
nope. All done? Okay. Thanks, Kim. Baron, how about you?
Yeah, okay, the first queer friend I had was a 50-50 bisexual, you know what I mean? Like, he definitely loved men, and he definitely loved women, and he didn't hide it because he was rich. He played polo with Princess Margaret, you know, like, he didn't give a fuck because he had money. So I wasn't used to that kind of person, but he was, like, a big goofball, so he was fun to be with. But, I mean, I you know, we separated, but that was the first time I tried to have sex, and it wasn't good because I sort of knew that I was a top man, but it took me a long time to figure out that guilt and shame was stopping me from operating like a top man. And then I met Rick. Before that, actually, okay, true confessions, I had an adult circumcision because I really wanted to be a top man. And please don't do that. The operation is easy, the Demerol is wonderful, but the healing is a fucking nightmare. You look, I was working for a school and they had a staircase to the second floor. I was like, oh my god, Binka, Binka. I had to run a ramp at every 6 hours and medicate it, and it's like, oh fuck. And they said, oh, anyway, let's not go there. You get me talking about it. Okay, so I met Rick. That was a really great summer fling. Like, we were fantastic in bed. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but we actually wrecked a bed once. I'm serious. Like, we smashed the fucking thing to pieces. Okay, true confessions. I'm leaving on the couch at midnight. You'll never see me again. But the guy was a really self-destructive drunk. Like, and I have a drunk brother, and he wrecked his life. And was like, I'm not tying my life to a drunk, no matter how nice he is or how good he is in bed. Besides, I had a good job in Quebec, so I left. I did have an affair, still being very dysfunctional, in the early 80s with a guy who was actually going through divorce. And you know what? His wife wanted me to be with Ron because I was masculine, so nobody would know that her husband was a queer. And he was an ex-Jesuit, but he was really steeped in self-pity. So I learned, one thing I learned about these affairs was lover sex is the best sex. I don't care what you say. Maybe it's not for you, but I am not interested in casual sex anymore. I went there, done that. It doesn't work for me. That's me.
Thank you all so much. So we are kind of right on time at 7 o'clock, which is a great time. I think we'll take a little bit of an intermission. We'll have 30 minutes to hang out, mill around. There's lots of folks here in the crowd to meet, and then we will gather back here for the second half of our questions at 7:30. Thanks, folks. All right, folks, we're going to get started again here in a few moments. If folks want to make their way back from the washrooms, there's water bottles if you haven't found them in the coolers just outside the tent. And just grab a seat at a table when you're ready. Thank you.
What I found is the more you present yourself with the music, you don't get status.
Fantastic. Thank you, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the break and that you met a few new folks. You had an opportunity to chuckle at some of the stories that we heard, and I loved the big burst of nerves that came out of everyone. It's the first story and the first half of our program ended. So we've got three more questions for you on the second half. And I think maybe we'll get started and jump right in to ensure that everyone kind of gets a chance to chat. So the first question I want to ask you is, what is a piece of advice that you've been given that stuck with you? What's something that someone else has shared as advice that you hang on to?
A lot of things. A lot of the time it's just things that come out of Courtney's mouth, because she's been like the adult through the whole thing. But essentially, anytime she's ever told me that you don't do things for others, you do it for yourself, it's a constant reassurance that I need, and it's always good to hear it. But it's a piece of advice I'll always hold with me. That and essentially, people don't have to like you for you, something along the lines of, if people don't like you, that's fine, because that's an issue with them, not an issue with you. And that's probably one of the best pieces of advice I've literally ever heard, because it fits me in so many ways, shapes, and forms.
I don't really think I've been given any advice that has stuck with me, but I have learned some things. A few years ago, some people tried to tell me that I was a lesbian.
Doesn't that always happen to, literally everyone?
Yeah. despite how many times I told them that I am not a lesbian, they were adamant in telling me my identity. And that really did not sit well with me at all. And I did not listen to them. And I think that's really important, where you shouldn't listen to someone telling you who you are, no matter what they're telling you. You shouldn't listen to someone telling you that you are cis if you feel you aren't. You shouldn't listen to someone telling you that you're straight if you feel that you aren't. And you shouldn't listen to someone telling you that you are any part of the community. Only you can know who you are.
Free advice. That was just free advice.
Yeah.
For me, literally anything the McPhee staff has to say. And also, there's a piece of advice that I've been given, but I assure you it's incorrect. You can't pick your family, so pick your friends wisely. I can, in fact, pick my family. I present to you my favorite sibling.
Wait, can I explain the hierarchy of trans... too close to my phone, but can I explain the hierarchy of trans siblings that we started?
Sure.
There's two people over there. Achilles started it. I'm the second oldest. And then I don't know what in which order Phoenix and Cam go, because
Phoenix is younger than me.
Really?
Phoenix is a baby.
Phoenix is a baby. I'm actually turning 15. No child. But yeah, we just start at that, because why not feel safe in your own family when you can have a family you feel safe in? I'm sorry, I kind of like stole stuff from you, but I thought it was like that's something that had to be explained to like what you were gonna say makes sense.
Yep.
Either of you, Steph or Ben?
Nobody's really given me any advice on who I should be and what I should do or whatever. The closest advice I got is from a really good friend who I first came out with. We were hiking one day, and she's sort of a typical Canadian, won't make bad comments. So we're hiking along, and she keeps looking at me, and I go, "What is it? What's up?" She goes, "No, I'm not going to tell you." I said, "Look, I'm not going to get upset. I'd rather you tell me and let me know." So eventually she believes that I'm not going to get upset, and she turns around and she goes, "You look like a clown." Because when I first came out, I would go hiking with makeup on.
Hey, we've all done that. I've done that.
Yeah, I know it's not a dumb thing, right?
I've done it. It's fine. If I get mauled by a bear, at least I look good doing it.
My confidence level was down here, right? So I said, "Look, I know I look like a clown because I was in a rush and I put too much rouge on." And so now the standard joke with her is, "Do I look like a clown today?" And she's grown confident enough to be able to turn around and tell me when I'm dumb things. And she'll give me advice on how to dress and how to look. But what I would give advice to anybody is believe in yourself. As long as you believe in yourself and you're happy with yourself, that's the best thing that you can do. And not everybody is going to accept you. And guess what? Screw them. You have to be happy to go along. Over the last 2 years, now I can go hiking without any makeup on, and I'm more confident that way. So go out and enjoy yourselves.
Up to the 1990s, I was working a great job in Japan teaching and got a lot of frequent flyer miles. But anyway, the point was that I started examining what the sharks that were in my pool that nobody told me about. Like the hidden hint of homophobia that you bought into but didn't know it was there. I had to agree with the person beside me that if you're in a situation when you're listening to, in my case, like there's that wacky church and they're saying negative things and I knew it wasn't true, leave. You don't have to explain yourself, just, it's amazing how much damage you do to yourself if you just listen to shit. I'm sorry to use vulgar language, but
words are words.
You know, it is what it is. Like if someone's saying crap about you, you shouldn't be there. I'm not saying run away, like, ooh, you hurt my feelings. You're like, who gives a shit? You know, just, okay, I got better things to do. Number two thing, this is what's really powerful for me, and it's still a discipline I use, and I know it's going to sound very simplistic, but it is a discipline. It's not a magic wand. Get in front of your damn mirror and say wonderful things about yourself. And I bet you many of you haven't done that. And I bet when you do, you'll start laughing because it's so stupid. You know, like we've taught this bullshit Canadian thing about to be modest. Well, shitting in yourself is not modesty. That's humiliation. You know, like a, don't ever say I'm fat, I'm old, I'm too femmy, I'm too this. You know, yeah, sure, nobody's perfect. Like if you think you're perfect, okay, you know, we'll make room for you on the other side of the street or another city. But I still do it. I get in front of the mirror, and I won't even. I'm too embarrassed to say in front of you because it was hard enough getting to talk to that guy in the mirror. But you know, stuff that you know, like you're a good artist, or you're a good public speaker, you're a good son, you're a good neighbor, you help people. I know it sounds really simple, and it is a discipline, but it does work. And over time, it will be one of the greatest things you'll ever do for yourself.
Thank you so much, folks. The next question I have for you, I'm hoping that we can get a little bit at how things have shifted over time. Has the like large-scale kind of acceptance of gender diversity impacted your gender identity? I'm curious, so folks over time, if you've noticed things shift.
Okay,
I'll go.
Okay, take it away.
I'm really being on the asset for 2 or 3 years. So when I look at today, the different identities out there, some of them confused the hell out of me. I had a friend who's going back into counseling and he says, can you explain this non-binary? And I said, no. And I said to him, by the way, the 63 definitions of it. So, and he's going, what? But I understand when I talk to like Dan and Baron here about how it was in Halifax, you know, back in the 60s and 70s and the 80s. It was tough. In Liverpool, it was tough, but I was never into, I was just a straight male at that time. But what I saw as straight male was an acceptance of people. Like in Liverpool, if you wanted to go to a great party, you went to the Jamaican Quarter. If you wanted something else, you'd go to another quarter. But I got asked by a guy I go camping with who is black, and he says, do you have race riots in Liverpool? And I go, not race riots, but we have riots. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I could be throwing bricks at the police. On one side of me is a black guy throwing bricks, and on the other side is an Asian guy throwing bricks. It's more about social justice than race. So when I came out in Halifax, it was nice to see acceptance. And for, what, 3 years now, walking around in as a female, nobody has made a bad comment to me, which I'm still amazed at, that nobody's, you know, made any rude innuendo comments, whatever you want to call it. So I think with the system talking about gender and gay groups talking about it, it's been slowly but surely accepted that, if you like, we're out there, we're among you. So I've had good experiences.
For me, gender diversity has absolutely impacted my identity. When I was maybe 2 or 3 years old, I absolutely adored wearing dresses. It was wonderful. I loved to spin in them. I loved the looks. I loved the colors. I loved it all. But as I grew up, I started to see how other people were dressing. And that didn't really fit with how I was feeling, so I would stop wearing the things that I wanted to wear. And of course we know that clothing doesn't have a gender, colors don't have genders, they're just clothing and colors. But it did really impact me. And one of my transition goals is actually to feel comfortable wearing a dress. Yeah. I just think more guys in general and more everyone should be wearing dresses. So if you see a pretty dress, if you see a pretty outfit, pick it up and wear it. Who cares what people think?
It's like the motto of my life.
It's definitely been a very prominent thing for me. For me, it wasn't much in person. I didn't really meet people until I met people, if that makes sense. But for me, it was a lot of media representation. I tend to just, ignore things and consume media. One of the first times I had ever seen, a trans character that was actually a trans character, that was specifically a non-binary character that was respected by everyone and has been in this piece of media since 2012, was Cecil Palmer from Welcome to Night Vale. That did a lot for me, was to be able to see trans representation, queer representation, never be questioned. It was never questioned because there was a different societal norm in that town. But that societal norm has stuck with me. That character has done a lot for me, and it's probably dumb to say that I find that characters in media, seeing trans characters has done more for me. I like that a lot of the time when I see them, it's trans characters written by trans people. Those make me feel amazing. Podcast characters are the ones that are like, yay, trans representation I really like. Because it's all written by trans people and it feels real. And they're not all your perfect, typical trans people that look how you want them to. Only like a newer character. Sydney Sargent from Camp Here and There. Written and played by a trans guy who isn't what society thinks of when they think of a trans man. He's feminine. He doesn't want to medically transition. He is himself, and he's respected by everyone around him. And that's the way that I feel the safest is when there's a character that's like me in a way of, so close thing, I never cared, I felt I could only wear dresses and skirts after I realized I wasn't a girl. I wear them a lot now. I do still have that fear of when people see me, are they going to be like, oh, that's a girl. Like, I had that this morning when going here. I was like, well, what do I wear? I feel like I have to look proper, but I also don't want to look feminine. And, oh, my God, it's too warm to wear that. And it got a lot. So I was like, whatever, I don't care, and got dressed. But just seeing trans people in media has made me feel a lot better. Because it feels like it's more widely seen than it is in real life, if that makes any sense. I feel like I'm saying it. Does that make any sense? A lot. But, yeah, it was more of because I don't involve myself in spaces a lot. I do, but I don't. If that makes any sense. Why need to stop saying that? It's like me and saying sorry all the time. But yeah, seeing characters that are widely loved and no one questions it and just uses it and respects it makes me feel really good and hopeful that people are going to see me and just accept it.
Thank you, Cecil.
I feel like the acceptance for me, I don't know, I don't think it has changed my identity, but I think it has changed my feeling of acceptance and the knowledge that I have, like the words that I have to describe myself and my identity. But, like, I would still be me if I wasn't at McPhee Center. I would still, like, I would still exist. Yeah. I don't think that it has changed who I am. I think it has changed who I know and who I interact with.
Thank you. And we have one more panelist up there.
Yeah. When this, I'm going to say issue or whatever, well, I'll say issue. When the issue of different binaries and different gender identities came up, I was sort of baffled by it, and I still am, but, and I did the logical thing. I tried to understand it or dissect it or critique it, and didn't succeed. I still, there's a lot of things that I don't understand, but it's like, you don't need to understand, you just need to love people. And that's my Christianity, is I believe in a God of love. When I hear Christ being used to sell machine guns, it just makes me nearly violent. And but personally, backing up, I'm just accept people. It's like, why do I need to condemn anybody? You know, like I lived with so much freaking condemnation, and it took me like decades to identify it and get rid of it and live real. And I was like, I don't want to burden anybody. What do I care about? You know, it's your business. It's your life. I'm pretty much cisgendered male. Like, so I didn't even realize I was going under the radar because I look like every other straight guy. Except that I didn't give a hoot about women. I mean, I love women. I had gal pals in school, but they were always the smart, sassy, bitchy ones. And everyone was like looking at us, we're talking on the staircase about this and that, and they're like, ooh. And I didn't get it. I was like, dude, not getting this. Anyway, backing up. My thing is, I love you, I respect you, and I don't mean I'm going to go over and hug you or get to be your best friend. It's like, I just let you have your space. I'm not going to sit in condemnation of you. You're a fellow human being. You know, I respect you.
Thank you so much. And we've got one final question for our panelists today before we end off. And this is leaning back a little bit. We asked you what a piece of advice that you've received is. But today I'm curious if there's a lesson that you're going to take away from this conversation or our time together today. Is there something that you've learned here with us tonight?
I learned that a lot of how, like, we feel about things is quite similar, actually. I like that we kind of all have the same attitude of going into things of, fuck what other people say about me, I'm me for me. And that, like, people are just people. And I really like that everyone just collectively has that view, because it's really nice to know other people think like that and not just younger people, because a lot of people say, well, that's just a new generation thing. Clearly it's not, so can we stop making that your only excuse you use?
I think it's definitely what a lot of you two are saying, where you, how do I word this? Not everyone is going to like you, and you just have to be you. And you have to sometimes really just look in the mirror and tell that to yourself and help yourself, because you can't just really wait along for everyone to like you or anyone to really help you. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Definitely yes, but no thoughts, head empty.
Yeah. Sure, we've been talking too much.
I'm amazed at these three young people here. They've proven to me that even though society is more accepting, they still have problems. And it's the only thing I can say to them is baby steps along your problems and sort your problems out. But at the same time, enjoy your life. And I think they've got their head screwed on really good. And it's great to have these conversations, because I can put odds on it, some of you guys are going, yeah, I didn't think of that, or yeah, I've gone through that. So I think what's happened in general over the years is people have started talking about things. And if you talk about it, then people get more accepting of it.
Okay.
Your last one.
I think your final wise words.
Last words.
Yeah. Like Stephanie, I realize that being young is a tumultuous process. It was for me, it was for Dan, it was for Anita, it was for Norman, and it always fucking will be. Yeah. Like, when you guys are grandparents, you'll run into kids and say, I don't know what to think. Well, you know, that, welcome to the human race. I'm not being flippant, I'm not dismissing it. It's a painful, awkward thing.
Yeah.
And stick with your guns and, you know, do what you know is healthy and right. And you will be amazed, because your life will improve. You'll be more you. And, of course, what was said is that no matter what you do to bend yourself out of shape to please somebody or some idea of normal, there's always going to be someone who doesn't like you, doesn't get you. You're never going to please everybody, so fucking please yourself.
Thank you all five of you for joining us this evening. I think we've heard some really incredibly wise words from generations whose lived experiences have been really different and startlingly the same at the exact same time. I know for me, I'm so often faced with young people at the McPhee Center who tell me that I am one of the oldest to LGBTQ folks they know. Right? And I'm often asked, where are our elders? And we have conversations about the HIV AIDS crisis and the stigma and that has kept so many of our elders like behind closed doors. And I think I just want to say thank you on behalf of the McPhee Center for the roads paved, the time spent living lives so that stories could be told later and lessons could be learned. So I'm so grateful to our elders. I'm so grateful to our young people who are braver than I ever was at their age. And I just want to thank our whole audience for coming to join us today and participating in this event. And with that, we will wrap up because I think Halifax Pride has much more to do tonight. For those who are sticking around, I don't work for Halifax Pride, so I don't know what the next event is, but someone will. It's the comedy show. Woohoo! I think my close personal friend Sarah Graham is performing at that. Some other folks. Okay, I'm done now. Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you. obvious, but you should probably